If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to John chapter 18, verses 15 through 18, and then John chapter 18, verses 25 through 27. Those are on page 904. So first of all, I'll read verses 15 through 18. John chapter 18. Verses 15 through 18 on page 904. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood outside the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I'm not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. Okay, now look down the page at verse 25 through 27. We'll start there. John 18, verses 25 through 27. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Jesus again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. The children are dismissed for children's church. It's a special privilege we have today of having Tom and Sue, Pastor Tom and Sue Peters with us. And I've known Tom for about 40 years. We went to college and seminary together. Tom has served in Prague with us, bringing several teams across the ocean to spend time with us. And Tom and Sue have been a blessing to our lives. This morning, yesterday, I put an announcement on my Facebook page that Tom and Sue Peters were going to be here. And there were responses from around the world liking what I said. There was a response from Berlin, Germany. There was a response from close to the border of Poland in the Czech Republic. There was a response from Northern California, and of course, other people too. But it shows that Tom has had a varied and good ministry over the years with us. Tom, come and be with us again today and share what God is doing in your life so we can pray for you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, George.
You're welcome.
All right. Am I wired?
Yeah, okay. You don't want to ask your kids if they're wired. That's a whole different thing. All right. Let's see if we can get some stuff going here. Great to be with you this morning. Thanks so much for the opportunity to share with you. It's been great to have Homerville Grace as one of our partnering churches. And I believe that we are a partnering church, not just a church that gives us money. But you also pray for what we're doing and are interested in what God is accomplishing through the ministry that he's given to us. And we're very thankful for that. Thanks for allowing us to come this morning. As George read John 18, I don't know how many of you are like me, but we can relate to Peter. He has a foot-shaped mouth, and many times, unfortunately, that I end up with that too. But I want to share this morning some of the things I've observed through the scriptures of what God has done in the life of Peter. There's quite a difference between what we read here in John chapter 18 and what will be our primary passage in Acts chapter 4. The interesting thing in Acts chapter 4, this is only a little over 40 days difference between John 18 and Acts chapter 4, but there's a huge difference in Peter, and God did some great things in his life, so we want to look at that. Let's look at Acts chapter 4, and we will be reading verses 8 through 12. Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. The context of this is that in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came and indwelt the believers in the church in Jerusalem. There were thousands of people that responded to the gospel message. Many times those messages came out of the mouth of Peter, the same one that 40 days earlier had denied Christ. And God used Peter and this change in Peter's life to touch people's hearts, and they came to know him. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the ruling council, the Jewish leaders called the Sanhedrin didn't know how to deal with this. They did not like it at all, what was happening and these people responding to the message of the gospel, the good news of what Jesus Christ provided. Their typical way of dealing with it was arrest whoever speaking, put them in jail, and try to intimidate them, but it wasn't happening. People continued to respond to the message. So here we are in Acts chapter 4. In chapter 3, Peter and John had healed a man that was crippled from birth, and the crowd came around and were awestruck because this man had been sitting at the temple gate year after year, and now he is up walking and praising God. And so Peter takes the opportunity to again proclaim the gospel, and sure enough, he and John are arrested. So in chapter 4, beginning at verse 8, they're before the Sanhedrin, the ruling council, and the question comes in verse 7, what power or what name did you do this? So Peter takes the opportunity again to present the gospel. This is what he says, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." So again, Peter doesn't pull back any punches. In John chapter 18, why was it that Peter responded the way he did with denial? He was scared stiff of those guys. He thought they had power and that they were going to do some harm to him personally. And he hated seeing what was happening to Jesus, but he didn't want it happening to him. So he was running scared. And that's why he kept denying Christ in John chapter 18. He's a different man here, isn't he? He's totally different. He says, "You are the ones that crucified him," the Sanhedrin. And it's true. They were the ones that put him before Pilate. So he's bold now. He's got this power within him that he never experienced before. And we're going to take a look at that. Look down at verses 17 through 20 as well. So after he says, again, proclaiming Jesus in verses 11 and 12, they didn't know what to do, so they sent him outside and they started arguing between themselves. Verse 17, they decide, "But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to teach or speak at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." This is incredible. for the guy that denied Christ 40 days earlier, or a little over 40 days earlier, to stand up to these guys the way he is and say, you for yourselves judge whether it's right in God's eyes to obey you rather than him. That's incredible. So what do we have here? What happened with Peter? Okay, why is it that he is so open with his belief in Jesus Christ now? In Luke chapter 14, verse 17, where it talks about verse 71, where it talks about where Peter denied Christ, it says in the last denial in Luke, it says that he actually called down curses from heaven. He was very adamant in his 40 days earlier and trying to shield himself from any blame or any association with Jesus. And yet here he says, you judge whether it's right before God to listen to you rather than to listen to God. That's incredible. So what can we learn from this? What we can learn from this is that Peter was a changed man. So what brought about this change? Okay. He proclaiming that Jesus is, there is no other name among heaven by which you must be saved. He talks about him being the chief cornerstone or the capstone. How in the world did this difference come to be? So we want to take a look at this. What made the changes in Peter's life? Well, there are several things that we can look to. First, if you look at John chapter 20, in verse 19. So partway through this 40 days, John chapter 20 and verse 19, partway through these 40 days, Jesus appears to them. This is actually on the day that he arose. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Okay, so that gives you another indication of his mindset at this time. They had the doors locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And then chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. We won't read all of that, but this is where Jesus appears to Peter and he restores him. He asks him three times, do you love me? And Peter says three times, I love you, Lord. So what is it that he was a witness to? Peter was a witness to the resurrected Christ. He knew that now that God had raised Jesus from the dead, that God had all power. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin had no power compared to the power that it took to raise Jesus from the dead. And he knew that since God raised Jesus from the dead, all power belongs to God, not to these guys. So there was no reason to fear them any longer. They had no power. Compared to the power that it took to raise Jesus from the dead, they had nothing. They had intimidation, and that was about it. So their power compared to God's power was nothing. So he no longer needed to fear. So one of the first factors in this change between John 18 and Acts chapter 4 in the life of Peter was that he was a witness to the resurrected Christ. He saw the power of God in raising Jesus from the dead. Secondly, look at Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4. Acts 2, 1 through 4. That when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So he had received the Holy Spirit that he didn't have before. That made a difference in Peter. Later on, Paul declares in 2 Timothy 1:7 that this spirit that we have received is a spirit of power. and of love and of self-discipline. So this is another factor in the change in Peter between John chapter 18 and Acts chapter 4, that now he had the powerful Holy Spirit in his life, a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. He didn't have that before. That's why he would fly off the handle and cut off the ear of the servant. That's why he would deny Christ 3 times. But now he has the Holy Spirit living in him in a way that had never happened before. There's a third factor, I think, that's very important that we think about. Not only did he have the Holy Spirit in his life, and not only was he a witness to the resurrected Christ, but in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, it said that they were all joined together constantly in prayer. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Prayer was a huge part of the early church, and I think that made a difference in Peter. He became a man of prayer that he never had been before. Yeah, they asked Jesus how to pray, and he taught them how to pray, but I don't think he was devoted to it until now. So those three things, to me, make a huge difference in the life of Peter. Between John 18, him denying Christ, and Acts chapter 4, him standing before the Sanhedrin saying, "You are the ones that crucified Christ, and we can't proclaim any other name except the name of Jesus by which we all are saved." That's an incredible difference and a change in Peter because of his witness of the resurrected Christ, the Holy Spirit in his life, and his devotion to prayer. So back to Acts chapter 4, if you look at verses 23 and 24, what was their reaction then as they went back to the church? What was their reaction? They'd been told not to speak any longer, and they replied, "You know, judge for yourselves if it's right to, in God's eyes, to obey you rather than God." And so on their release, verse 23, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the prophets, the peoples plot in vain?" So the first reaction of being released, even though they had been told not to speak at all in the name of Jesus, their first reaction was to go back and to pray. That's pretty incredible. That shows you that what Acts 2:42 said, their devotion to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer was actually putting it into practice. They were people of prayer as well. So that's what their first reaction was. What did they pray for? You know, what did they pray for? God to shield them, to protect them, to put a hedge about them that they wouldn't be persecuted? No. What did they pray for? That God would smite down the enemies and he would, like he did in the Old Testament, just wipe them out? No. Did they even pray that more people would be saved? No. I find it very interesting. Look what they prayed for in verse 29. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." That's what they prayed for. They didn't pray that they would be released for being God's servants, so they would get protected, that more people would respond to the gospel. They prayed for boldness, that they would continue to speak God's word. I find that incredible. I, again, am like Peter. And many times I lack the boldness to be able to share the gospel with people. And maybe part of it is that I haven't been praying for that boldness and asking the Lord to give me that boldness, because we know that he has all power. We're scared to share the gospel, aren't we? We're scared of somebody rejecting what we have to say. And yet, like Peter, we should understand that the resurrected Christ has all power, and he can do his work. I remember one time when George and I were in college or seminary, there was a guy that had gone out and done some evangelism, and he had memorized, you know, how to present the gospel. And he went to this house and was sharing the gospel with people, but he was messing it up big time. He's quoting the wrong scripture with the wrong point to try to get a flow through how to be able to present the gospel. And sort of sheepishly at the end, he asked if any of the people present would like to receive Christ, and one did. And he'd go, he was shocked because he had blown it so bad. But God had used his word to prompt that person's heart to turn to Jesus Christ. Now, I feel like that sometimes. I went through evangelism explosion one time when we were on home ministries from Africa at the Worcester Church. And during one of the sessions, a break for lunch, we went to Pizza Hut there in Worcester, and we met this waitress, and one of the guys in our group shared the gospel with her. And later on, after the seminar was over and everything, probably 2 weeks later, I was in Kmart over there in Worcester, and I saw her in the aisle that I was going down. And I said hi to her. She remembered us and everything. But you know what? I was going to ask her about what she thought about the gospel presentation, but all I could think of was about the weather. And why? See, it wasn't that I didn't know the gospel. It wasn't that I didn't have the opportunity, but it was because I never had prayed for boldness that I would be able to share the word of God fearlessly as I should. So praying for boldness is an incredible thing. And what's the result? Look at verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The result was that they got what they had asked for, that God answered that prayer. They asked for boldness. He gave it to them. So what can we conclude from this? You know, many times for us as believers in Jesus Christ, again, it's not so much that we don't know the message of the gospel. If that is a problem with us, that we don't know exactly what to share and how to share it, I'm sure that Pastor George and Pastor Tim or others in the church would be willing to help you to understand how to present the gospel. But for the most part, I think it's not so much that we don't know what to say. And it also isn't that we don't have the opportunity. God brings opportunities to us all the time, but we don't take advantage of them. I think many times the problem is that we have never prayed, God, give me the boldness to be able to present your word as I should. So we need to be praying that God would give us that boldness. It may sound fairly simple, but we see here in Acts chapter 4, the change in Peter and the boldness that he had came about because of his witness of the resurrected Christ, the Holy Spirit in him, and his devotion to prayer. Guess what? Those are all available to us, right? So let's wrap up with some points to consider, okay? So what about us? Do we have the same availability of those things in our lives today that Peter did back in Acts chapter 4? The answer is yes. Through the scriptures, we are witnesses to the resurrected Christ. We have seen how he has acted in other people's lives. 1 Corinthians 15 tell us that if we do not believe, if the resurrection did not happen, then we of all people should be the most pitied. But we aren't to be pitied, because the resurrection is true. We are witnesses of that. So if we have received Jesus Christ in our heart, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 say this. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. If we have believed in our hearts, we have the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that was in Peter, that he received in Acts chapter 2, we have. Having believed, we are sealed in him. So we can't say, well, we really don't have the Holy Spirit. We do. And thirdly, you know, we should be as devoted to prayer as they were. I find a very interesting passage in Ephesians chapter 6, you know, where it says to put on the full armor of God. Paul ends by saying, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for the saints. We should be equipping ourselves with prayer. Do you find prayer difficult? I find all sorts of distractions to keep me from praying, but he tells us here we need to pray. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And here's another question. Look at verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 6. After he says to pray on all occasions, he says in verse 19, and this is Paul, okay? We all know him as a great evangelist, but look what he prayed for. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. If Paul, the great evangelist we all know and respect, if he asked people to pray for him that he would be able to boldly and fearlessly proclaim the gospel, guess what? We need it too. We need to pray that God would give us the boldness to be able to declare his word fearlessly as we should. Because we have the Holy Spirit in us, we are witnesses of the resurrected Christ, and we have the opportunity through prayer to pray for that boldness so that we can fearlessly make known the gospel. If there are any here that have not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I want you to know that Jesus is calling to you. Jesus wants to be in your life. Having believed, you will be sealed by the Holy Spirit. He wants that. He wants that fellowship with you, and he invites you to come. Not only to understand who he is, but in 1 John 5:13 it says that these things are written in the Word of God that we may know that we have eternal life. It's just not a guessing game. When you become a believer in Jesus Christ and he seals you with the Holy Spirit, it says that you are he is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. It should never be a guessing game of whether or not I know Jesus or not. And that's the assurance that he gives us through his word, that when we believe, we will have that assurance. So, my friends, I love seeing the difference that God made in Peter's life. And I think that if God can change a guy like Peter, who denies him three times, he can change us. And he can do that through our understanding of Jesus as the resurrected Lord, through the Holy Spirit giving us the power that has already been given to us through the gospel and the truth of his word, and that we are devoted to prayer, and especially to pray for boldness. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the truth and the assurance that we get when we see examples like Peter, a man who at one point denied you three times, and yet you didn't give up on him. You loved him. In 40 days, you changed that man because he saw the power of the resurrected Jesus, because of the Holy Spirit coming into his life, and because he was devoted to prayer. And as he asked for boldness, Lord, and he and the church in Acts chapter 4, and as Paul asked for boldness and fearlessness to proclaim the gospel in Ephesians 6, Lord, we need that too. We have the message of the gospel. We have opportunities to share. I pray, Lord, that we would be found faithful in sharing that as we pray for that boldness to be able to share your gospel fearlessly. Thank you for our time together, Lord, and I pray that you would embolden us as we go out to be able to be your witnesses here in Homerville and throughout the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.